It was one of those LPs people listened to 100 times over and over and memorized. Concert by the Sea.
The mighty man of them all, my dear friend Errol Garner. Errol.
They wore out the grooves when it was released just 60 years ago. It was a Carmel, California trio concert led by pianist Errol Garner. And the recording of it was a $1 million seller back then in the 50s. So it's been possible to marvel at the Garner sound captured that night. But last fall brought a new version that improves the sound of the original and adds more tunes from that very same night. The remastered complete Concert by the Sea is up for a Grammy Award, and the attention has created new interest in Garner's gifts. Errol Garner reached his peak at a time when there were a lot of very distinctive piano players around, some of them moody, some angular. It was a wild style mix in the 1950s. Garner played jazz that made people feel extremely happy. It feels good to listen to. It even feels good to talk over. It's a style he developed in his own head, having been born in the 1920s and having grown up listening to swing music. And this self-trained, self-taught, prodigious pianist, starting at the age of 3, kind of reinvented the piano as a band. Errol Garner owned the sound completely. Music writer Will Friedwald.
He would go from playing this very full orchestral way with, you know, all 10 fingers to concentrating on an individual line, which would be more like a soloist. In a Garner performance, you almost hear it's like several different piano players. Almost like a vaudeville routine where one guy comes on stage and does his bit and the other guy, you know, follows him and does another completely different bit.
You have to realize this was a pianist playing against the grain of the 1950s jazz world. If the modern jazz musicians of the time were getting more serious, turning inward to some degree, Garner was not.
He had this amazing desire to entertain. He was really a showman who used jazz and swing and the blues to reach an audience, to connect to an audience. Garner was totally in your face, almost more like a magician or a comedian.
Adding to the image was Garner's size. He was small, not much taller than 5'2", and he routinely hauled 2 Manhattan telephone books out to the stage and stacked them on top of the piano bench, where, it seems, they lifted him to just the right height to reach the keys. Garner did a famous bit, stumping the audience by creating obscure introductions to the songs he played. Even his own sidemen didn't know what was coming, says Lauren Schoenberg.
The bass and drummer waiting to figure out what key he's in, what song he's playing. It's really funny. These guys looking at each other, trying to catch his eye, to come in together.
Then, finally, he'd get there. And everybody would get on board.
I mean, he really was walking that tightrope so much more than most jazz groups.
The rhythm of a Garner performance, whether fast, slow, or in between, the rhythm is unstoppable. He had that strumming going, unrelenting. And against this rock-solid rhythm, he'd play games with the music. He was so skilled he could divide the beat between his 2 hands. So he'd get that relentless rhythm going with 1 hand, and in the other, he'd lag a little behind the beat. So there was this anxiety. Could he keep it up? You can hear him catching up and dropping behind constantly. It was seductively unstable, this dimensional beat. And he could play anywhere inside it.
In the middle of the beat, in front of the beat, or behind the beat.
Jerry Allen, jazz pianist and jazz educator, produced the new Complete Concert by the Sea album.
It's very unusual. I can't say that I ever heard that before. where you can really feel one hand is pulling behind the beat and the other is in another place dividing that time. I haven't heard that before. That kind of control.
So it all makes you wonder, why isn't this a name that everyone knows? In the list of iconic jazz names, why not Garner? Right now, it's a question a lot of people are asking as they take in the dexterity and daring of what he was doing every night.
So it was always on edge. He could go anywhere. And that's what's so exciting about listening to him, too. You get that sense of complete freedom in his playing.
Thanks to the work of some dedicated archivists, engineers, and Garner lovers, the retooled Concert by the Sea shows Garner just spinning out tunes at an incredibly high level, one after another.
Probably the hottest one, and this was on the original album, is I'll Remember April. That's the one that comes to mind because he's just on fire. It's a wonderful rhythm section with him who keep things simmering, just about to boil. And he just goes. And there's something about his improvisation and his playing on I Remember April that I think might be him at his absolute peak.
Whether this album wins the Grammy or not, the irrepressible Garner can now be heard, if that's possible, in an even better version of his very best. The jazz writer Gary Giddens said Garner's albums could be prescribed as over-the-counter antidepressants. So I'd say, take two and call me in the morning. For Fishko Files, I'm Sarah Fishko. Thank you.